All right. How are you guys doing this evening? Good. I'm going to back up just a little bit here. So, there we go. So, we're going to start off with some announcements and then get into a report of how summer went out at camp. And I know you guys saw us coming in and out and gotten bits and pieces as we were here at church and so on, but it's always good to kind of get a fuller picture and look at what happened this past summer and beyond and kind of get an update of where we're heading, and so we're looking forward to doing that this evening. Before we get into that, though, several announcements that we want to make sure we highlight as we're getting into fall and other things happening, lots of things happening in the life of the church, and so we want to make sure we highlight those. Next week, or starting Wednesday, Wednesday we're going to have Tom Carr joining us through Zoom, right? Yeah, through Zoom, getting us an update on his ministry and what's happening there. It was great to hear from Nahum and Aaron this past Wednesday, and it's just a delight, and we're thankful for technology to allow us to have this connection with our missionaries and those who are faithfully serving. And this week will be no exception to that, and we'll be able to hear from Tom Carr and what the Lord's been doing in their lives here of late. And then next Sunday, there's a couple different things. Morning service is normal, but then in the afternoon from 2 to 4:30 is a pool party. Michael, you want to give us an update on what's going on there? All right, sounds good. Yeah, so next week at Rex and Amy's, that'll be from 2 to 4:30. Parents are invited to be there, be a part of that. There'll be a parent meeting, so go ahead and come on in with that, and that'll be a great time there. There is a QR code in the email or on the announcement sheets that to help you RSVP, bringing food and so on for that afternoon. Then that evening, we have the ORBC combined service here at the church. We've been doing this, I think it's the fourth year now, rotated through a couple other churches, and now we're back to our church. And what a blessing that is to get together with local churches and to worship together and have a time of fellowship. This year, Chuck Palsley will be our speaker, and looking forward to that. And there will be a time of recognition for them, as they will be retiring here at the end of the year, and so we want to thank them, Chuck and Linda, for their faithful service there. There is a dessert fellowship after that, so if anyone wants to participate in bringing some of those, Mary, do they need to see you? See Mary or Denise, and they'll get you connected with all the details, and that way we can have plenty of desserts to eat next week while we're fellowshipping. So coming up this Tuesday is the Wednesday, or is not, sorry, not Wednesday, but this Tuesday is the women's prayer night from 7 to 8 here at the church. And if I remember correctly, Pam, are you guys praying for schools and people heading back to schools, teachers and students and so on? So that'll be happening this Tuesday. For any ladies, 7 to 8 here at the church, come and just spend some time praying together and entering the throne room of grace. What an amazing opportunity we have to do that, and to do that with the body of Christ. I think we take that for granted from time to time. I know I do. But what an amazing privilege that we have as a part of being in Christ. We're looking forward to other things happening. Youth group kicking off, as Michael mentioned, September also will be the kickoff of FLY, and then also the kickoff of community groups. We're in the process of organizing all of those things right now. More details will come out as you're going along. I can speak from a community group standpoint that we are busy organizing. So if you're interested in hosting or leading a community group, it's not necessarily locking you in, but if you're just interested in that, let me know as soon as possible. Hopefully going to finalize those groups this week, and then next week or the week after, we'll see how things time out. We'll start with signups as we go along. Community groups will kick off on the 21st, and so that'll be something that we can look forward there. Remember, community groups are... community groups are a time for us to be the church. We can gather together, we can fellowship with one another, and we can chew on the truth that we hear in the morning, yes, but also pray for one another, minister to one another, and we can be the church together in fellowship and minister to one another. And so those are a great time. We love those, and looking forward to another season of those this fall. I know for Fly will be kicking off, I believe it's the 17th, whatever that Wednesday is right there. And then the 31st, there will be a training, I believe, for those working in Fly to kind of get some updates on some changes. And anybody who's interested in helping out with that ministry, they're still looking for people. So if that's something that you would like to do, see Rex or Amy for those details there. So I think that's all the announcements that I had. Any other announcements that we need to make sure we highlight things happening in the church? All right. Well, let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll get on with our time of looking at what the Lord did at camp here. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for your love and your grace and the fact that we can rest upon that because of the work of your Son on the cross, the work that you have done in our lives and the indwelling of the Spirit, we can have a relationship with you. And that's such an amazing thing, and it should stop us in our tracks. But yet you continue to provide us with everything we need for life and godliness. You continue to bless us. You continue to just meet every need that we have. And Lord, I pray that you would just constantly allow us to have a heart of gratitude for what you have done and continue to do in our lives, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would receive all the honor and glory from that. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to live as ambassadors here, that we would live in order to see others come to know you as Savior and then to see them grow in the knowledge and truth of your word. Lord, that's what you've called us to make disciples locally and worldwide. And Lord, I pray through all of these ministries that are happening that we would remember that they are all vehicles to allow us to fulfill that mission of making disciples. Lord, we thank you for the body of Christ and the fact that we can be a part of that. Lord, you didn't call us here to be lone rangers, to figure this Christian life out and life honoring you in enemy territory by ourselves, but rather we can rally together as a body of believers to encourage one another, to spur one another on, to help guide and correct and train one another. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to engage in that. You've gifted each of us uniquely, and all of it is important to see your mission fulfilled. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to continue to do that for your honor and for our joy, Lord. Pray for tonight as we think about what's happening out at camp and all the things that you've done this past summer and the things that you continue to do through Scioto Hills. And Lord, I pray that you would just receive the glory from that. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to show yourself faithful in the ministry there. And we're so thankful that we can have a part of be a part of that ministry where you reach so many lives and so many people make decisions to follow you, to go into ministry, to major life decisions at camp, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to not take that responsibility lightly. I pray that we would celebrate what you have done through the staff and through the programs, through the things happening out at camp this past summer. And we ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to give some updates and some of the figures. We're going to have some testimony times, some of them through video since they are away to college and other things, and some of them live as they are here with us. And then after we give an update of what happened at camp, Scott's going to come, give us an update on the expansion, and then challenge us from God's word. And so that'll be what we have going on here this evening. So I got to stay close to the mic. I want to wander. But Designed for Life Change, that's more than a slogan. That's something that is true, that we Everything out at camp is designed in order to impact lives for eternity, in order to point people to Christ and allow the truth of His Word to impact their lives. So the activities we do, the schedule we hold, everything we do has a careful thought, and it's designed for life change. There's lots of camps doing lots of fun things, and those aren't necessarily wrong. We point to this. So every decision we make, everything that we do comes back to our mission, and our mission was tweaked just a little bit this past year. And so I don't know, this is the first time some of you might have seen this. It says essentially the same thing. We just reworded our mission statement, but I'll go ahead and read it for you. The Cider Hills experience in partnership with the local church, it was important that we left that in, because we need to remember that Cider Hills is not here to replace the church, is not here to do something the church is not doing. No, we want to come alongside churches and to help them fulfill their mission of making disciples. And so we do that by partnering with them and offering something that they can use as a part of their discipleship program for kids, for adults, and for families there. So in partnership with the local church, utilizes the beauty of nature and intentional focus on God's Word and loving hospitality to lead people to know and love Jesus Christ as Creator and Savior. So you look at three main things there, the beauty of nature. There's just some, Scott's coined this term, nature deficit disorder. It's more and more we see that kids just aren't outside playing. I heard some statistics yesterday listening to a book about that. I can't even remember the numbers, but the dramatic decrease of kids just outside playing and the age in which they're allowed to go outside and just be by themselves outside playing is crazy. It's like almost double than it was a generation ago. So kids just aren't outside playing, and they don't enjoy God's creation. They don't enjoy hearing the sounds, smelling the smells, seeing this, all the things that come with being in nature that ultimately point us to Christ. And so get them out there in the beauty of nature. We got beautiful grounds. Our crew continues to work on that with an intentional focus on God's Word. The thing that's going to change them is God's Word. We can have all the fancy programs, we can have all the fancy toys, and we can do all the crazy activities, but the transformational thing is going to be God's Word. So we want to continue to focus in on that. When we pick our themes, we don't just pick a random theme and go find a text that matches that. What we do is we choose a text that we want to dig into, and then out of that text, we draw out a theme that text is teaching, and then we center everything around that when we create the themes for the year and so on. And loving hospitality. We're in the service business. We love to serve. We love to serve people and to see, have the opportunity to provide for them and allow them to see them have a great time. All for the goal of knowing and loving Jesus Christ for who He really is. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here later. Relationships is our niche. That is important. Why? Because we're ministry. Like I said earlier, there's lots of camps doing lots of fun things. We want to be known as people who minister to other people, a camp that ministers to people. Why? In the context of relationships, we're able to have conversations that reaches them personally in order to minister God's Word to them and encourage them to keep going. That's what we want to do. I say it all the time when I'm talking. We're in the people business. And when that happens, it gets messy and sticky at times, but it's also exactly what the Lord has ordained for us to be able to do. One-on-one relationships, getting to know them and building into them as we speak the truth in love. And we have the opportunity to do that, and we love doing that. And this is my second summer, so seeing people for the second time and starting to build those year-to-year relationships is something that I enjoyed doing this summer and something that I look forward to continuing to do as I went from brand new people, recognizing faces and names and maybe some stories, and next year being able to, it's a growing process, it's a long-term process, but it's something that I know I enjoyed doing this year and looking forward to doing more and more as we continue to serve faithfully. Camp works. We say that all the time. Camp, there's a reason why every type of organization, activity, whatever, is going to have and try to do a camp. Because camp works. And we see that, and specifically for our context, we're able to create a counterculture in which kids are taken out of their normal routines, families are taken out of their normal routines, and placed into a culture that we have there at camp. And through that, we create a temporary community with an intense spiritual focus, studying God's Word, and then seeing lives change, the Lord using that to change their lives, and then they can go back out and have an impact on their culture that they came from. But it takes that stepping away at times to look back and to really evaluate what the Lord's teaching you, how you are growing, and what things you need to continue to grow in. And we're able to offer that. And so it's the power of camp, right? Power of camp, coming away, doing those things, and countless number of lives have been changed due to camp. The statistics are staggering. The number of people in full-time ministry that made a significant decision at camp in their lives it's undeniable the direct impact there. And so we want to continue to provide a quality, safe camp experience for kids to continue to see and know Christ more. That's what we want to do. And it's more important than ever. I'm more and more convinced of that camp is more important now than it ever has been for a variety of different reasons. And that's beyond this discussion. If you want to talk about those, just call me and we'll sit down and chat about those at some point. Because the statistics are there, the stories are there, and everything's there. That camp is more important now than it's ever been before. So this year, our theme was Grace and Truth. We did that from John 1 through 3. So we spent time looking at those three chapters. Throughout the winter into the summer, I think we calculated 40-ish sermons from those three chapters. And that's just something special for those of us on staff who get to sit and listen to all of those. And just hearing, it doesn't matter that all of those, they all came from the same three chapters, and we heard the same text preached several, it was different every time. And not that the truth was different, but the angle in which it was taught, the applications that came out of it, the different nuggets, it was an amazing thing to be able to sit and to be able to hear that. And we got to study that as a staff all summer and look at those things there. Let me pull up my notes so I don't get too far off track here. So we looked at that, and we looked at the one who is full of grace and truth. And grace referring to the unfailing love of the one who is full of grace and truth. And truth being the standard, what is real, what is faithful, what we can depend upon. And who is that one that is full of grace and truth? It's Jesus. And so we asked the question all summer, who is Jesus? That's the question we've got to answer first, because it's exactly where John goes first. John's 1 to 18, John comes right out of the gate and says, Jesus is God. And he paints this beautiful picture of explaining where he came from, that he's always existed, that he came to earth with these attributes and accomplished this mission. He does this by describing all of that in 18 verses there. And then he spends the rest of the book giving a defense for that claim. And we were able to look at the first couple of chapters of that as we studied that this summer. And so we had to ask the question, who is Jesus? And they answered that question. They wrestled with that question. And then the next question we had to answer all summer, every week we answered, what are you going to do with Jesus? After we answer the question that he is God, what are you going to do with him? Are you going to accept him or deny him? Are you going to believe or are you going to not believe and reject him? And we get that John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 are the whole reason. I love that John does this. He explains what he's doing. And then just for those of us who are a little hard to, slow to understanding, he comes right out and says, I'm doing this so that you may believe. I'm writing this so that you may believe. And he shows us, he goes, I want you to believe in the one, in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we did that this summer. Our daily themes, the first day on Monday was Jesus is God. And we looked at that. We just talked about that. And then we need Jesus. What is clear, we saw that this morning, that we need Jesus. Why? Because we're sinners. And when we look at the real standard and we get a picture of who Jesus is, and we realize that we are far short of that, we realize there's a problem. And so then what's the solution to the problem? Day number three, we must believe Jesus. We must believe, and we talk about what belief is. It's not just an intellectual agreement with. It's not just a gathering in. No, it's placing the full weight of your life upon Jesus Christ. Believing with every fiber of your being and having no plan B, this is who He is. I'm going to trust what He says and who He is. And then that results in the way that we live our lives. The last day, Thursday, was true believers follow Jesus. And we see that because we believe has very real implications for our lives, not out of a legalistic manner, but because of a gratitude and wanting to serve our Savior. Because He has saved us, because He has rescued us from our own sin and destruction and the penalty that we are facing, we had the opportunity to serve Him. In that service, we find maximum joy. What a beautiful gift that He's given us. And we see that and we study that each week as we walk through those and able to do that. Numbers here, we can throw those out just a little bit. I don't know how deep you want to dive into these. But we offer 3 weeks of New Frontier, which is elementary, second grade through sixth grade. Sixth grade, you get your choice to go with the younger crew or the older crew. And then within those 3 weeks, we also have Alpha, which is junior high, sixth grade through eighth grade. And they're on camp on opposite sides. They may pass each other every once in a while, but really don't see each other a whole lot. We get a lot of families that are like, I thought I'd see my brother or sister a little bit more. And we're blessed to be able to offer these two camps at the same time through those. This year, Alpha numbers were way up. I'm learning this as just the second year into it. Some of these numbers fluctuate, and you got to figure out what's a trend versus what's just an anomaly versus why is this happening and all of those things. But Alpha, we had a bunch of kids from New Front the year before graduate up to the Alpha camp, and the numbers were way up in Alpha, almost 100 more than we had last year. But New Front was way down, and I've got the numbers here. It's like 35, 40 down from the year before, and we're trying to figure out why. Why is that? It could be just that's 2025, and next year it'll be back. We don't know that, but that's one of the difficult things. It could be a variety. I think it's complex, so a variety of different things happening in culture and in what's going on, but we're going to continue to pray that the Lord will bring us campers. Rev Week, which was our high school week, we had 165, which is up about 30 from the year before. We were nervous about that because we switched Family Camp 1 and Rev Week. So it went to a new week, and Rev Week is now on the 4th of July. So these students went home on the 4th of July. 4th of July morning, they went home. I have no idea if they stayed awake for fireworks that night. I did not, because it was a long week, but that's okay. I'll catch fireworks at some other time. So, but we had a great week of ministry. That was a tough week for just staff to endure. About everything that could break from a facility standpoint, broke that week. And so we were constantly running around half the week. A lot of the girls had to go to a different cabin to get showers because water was not making its way to the cabins completely and or at all in some cases. Air conditioning going out, hot water going out. There's all kinds of things that happened. But the Lord was faithful. And the kids and the counselors and the staff had great attitudes. And I was super thankful for that. They probably had better attitudes than I did at times. That was a great week. We were thankful for that. Also happening during that week is mini camp. Mini camp numbers were up as well. And we had 58 of them there. We're super excited about that, seeing all the little ones there. That's a unique week because a lot of them are younger. We dropped the age to first grade and give them a taste of camp. And so they don't know all the traditions and all the different things that we're doing, but they had a great week. They had a lot of fun. Anderson was there for that one. Did you have a great week, Anderson?
Yes.
Yes, there you go. So we had several others from the church there, and that was a ton of fun. We also had the Seeker program. That's often kind of an afterthought. That's a really unique and neat program that we have. Youth groups can come and use that almost as a missions trip in order to get a taste of ministry and service. And they do that through leading of the chapels, both morning and evening for the New Frontier age, the elementary age. And then also doing work projects throughout the rest of the morning and some of the afternoon as well. They do a variety of different work projects from hauling wood, clearing brush, to cleaning, to this year they were able to stain some boards for the new Hillside Chapel. And so they'll be able to come back decades from now and be able to point up to a board and say, we helped stain those things. And so it's cool when they get to do a project like that. We had 64 seekers this year, four groups, one for each New Front week, and then also mini camp. That was a unique thing. Haven't done that for a little while, but we are thankful for that. Family camp, 292 family campers. That number's down just a little bit. But overall, camp-wise, when we look at things, numbers are pretty close to the same as they were last year. We're actually probably, if you count in our guest groups, two churches in the beginning, a church in the afterwards, and there was like three guest groups in that week. Numbers might be just slightly up from this year, if not right about the same as they were last year. So we're thankful that the Lord provided them, provided us with people, because without people, we can't do the things that we love to do, and that's to do camp. And so and minister the gospel to people and build those relationships that I was talking about earlier. So there was that, and then an important number everyone asked, and we're so thankful and praising the Lord for that. Probably 15 to 20 professions of faith this summer, and a countless number of other decisions. It's hard to track those. And that's something that we get excited about, we love, and we get it's an amazing thing to hear counselors talking about stories of talking to campers and then them making a profession of faith. Or there was one counselor that I was talking to him about it, and he was just talking to his camper, and his camper talked about some decisions or thoughts that he had, and he goes, I think you're saved. And he goes, really? And he goes, yes, you're trusting Jesus. And that's what it takes, is to trust who Jesus is. And so sometimes it's just pointing those out. But we're careful about that. I know camp has a reputation of pushing people to make decisions that they may not be ready to make. And then who knows what happens when they go home. But we want to present truth, urge them to accept that. But if they're not ready, we don't want to pressure them to do that. We want to send them back to their church for their pastors to follow up with or their parents to follow up with as the Lord continues to work on their lives. And so we rejoice with anyone who comes and makes a profession of faith. And like I said, we had 15 or 20 of them this summer, and we rejoice in that. Summer staff, we had a great summer staff this year, and it was a ton of fun, 40 people on staff and serving in a variety of different ways. It's always a unique thing, and it's always a fun thing to see a group of people come together, many of them not knowing anyone else or maybe one or two others, and then by the end of it, they're family. I've already heard reports that they, and I warned them of this before they leave, that they're like, I miss my camp people. The people at school just don't know me the way camp people do. And they've only been with them for a couple of months. And so it's an amazing experience. And it's really just that intense frontline ministry that they get to be a part of. It's a ton of fun, but it's also a ton of work. We were blessed to have seven from our church serve on summer staff this summer. And we're thankful for that. We're going to hear from almost all of them tonight, as in one way or the other. And so we're super thankful for our summer staff. They had servant's heart. They really did. Every single one of them really wanted to serve. They really wanted to see what they could do in order to help us with whatever task was in front of us. And we're thankful for that. There really wasn't much drama this summer. You get a bunch of people together in general, but a bunch of high school and college students living together for many weeks into a cabin that's hot and tired, and usually you end up getting some conflicts. We really didn't have many this year. The Lord was kind to us, and we were able to stay focused on how we can serve as opposed to handling other things, and so we're thankful for that. Here's some pictures of some of our people throughout the summer there. We're here from a couple of them live. Josiah, let's start with you. I want to come up and give us a testimony Aaliyah, you can come up after him, and then we'll see some videos after that. Come on up, Josiah.
All right, let me get situated here. All right, hello, everyone. Most of you all know me, but for those of you that don't know me, my name is Josiah, and I was able to work at Soda Hills as a program assistant, and that was just an awesome opportunity to get to do that. I'm not going to lie, whenever Matt asked me to do this, I got really nervous, and I was like, okay, I got to get up here and share. But I shouldn't be nervous, because that's what the church is all about, is being able to get to fellowship with your church body and get to come and talk to everybody, and this is exciting stuff, so this is good, and I shouldn't be nervous, so. But yeah, I got to work on the program team, and that was really, really fun. I just want to thank you for your support and for all your prayers this summer. That meant the world to me. It helped me get through this summer, and it was very much needed. So the Lord really taught me to trust in Him fully, and throughout this summer, I couldn't do it by myself at all, and when I tried, I failed. So the verse that I turned to was Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So with that verse this summer, and needs to be throughout my life, but this summer he was the one in the driver's seat, and I was the one in the passenger seat, and he was guiding me through this summer as I was sitting there listening and learning as he was guiding me, and showed me some amazing things this summer. It was very fun. I'd probably say the most fun thing this summer was just being a part of the team again and just being involved. Past couple of summers, I wasn't able to work out at camp. I had some other work that I was doing, and it was just a joy to be there and just be a part of camp. It was so much fun. We have fun out at camp. We know how to have fun. And it was also really, really cool to see the change that the Lord got to use me a part of some of the kids' lives, just the eye-opening moments where, I get it. Like, I get to have a relationship with Jesus. Like, I didn't know that. That's like, yeah, that's so cool. So that was just awesome that he used me, and I got to see just a little bit of being a part of planting the seeds. So that was really awesome. And like Matt said, camp does work. It really does work. I've seen it work with some of my friends that I've talked to in the past that I got to be campers with, and just countless times it's changed people's lives. So it really does work. So thank you, Soda Hills, for having me out this summer. That was awesome. I was very grateful to be able to work there. And then also one more verse that goes with, I forgot to share this one. One more verse that goes with Proverbs is Psalms 23:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. So he was teaching me a lot of things, and he showed me the way, and I was trusting in him with all my heart throughout this summer, and he showed me just how important that is in your life. You don't want to just give him 80% or 90%. You want to give him 100%, and he will work in your life if you are willing to give him your life. So, yeah, this summer was awesome. So thanks for all your prayers and for all your support.
Throughout the summer, I worked with Caitlin in the pop shop. I was able to connect deeply with many of the other staff. I learned how to grow in my faith and in the Lord. I was placed with a great counselor who was super encouraging. Waking up and going to sleep late, but also being a helper with kids, super tiring. But with God's strength, we made it through. This summer has been one of the most meaningful times. I was taught patience with handling kids for weeks and endurance to make it through. With the chapels twice a day, to learning a reality check, to leading campers to faith, God showed me the joy that comes from living for Him. I'm proud to say that I have a deeper faith and can call Christ my own. I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve others at camp this summer.
Thank you, church family, for your support this summer. I had an amazing summer working at camp, and it wouldn't have been possible without the support that you guys give, just welcoming the summer staff in to the church, and then also just giving as well to the camp. So thank you for that. Real quick, just want to share just a good memory and just what the Lord taught me. And so a good memory from the summer is from week 3 of Alpha, where I had a few older guys in the cabin that I was able to have really good conversations with, and then a few younger guys that I wasn't quite sure that they were really getting what I was saying and taking anything in. But then at the end of the week, two of those younger guys came to me and just told me that they had accepted Christ as their Savior, and it really just was a great opportunity to then talk them through what that means and the impact that has on their life. And so it's just a good opportunity now to be praying for them that they'll continue to grow and learn. And then I think just through that and through other things that happened, just with some tough cabins and tough situations that I had to deal with, just the Lord showed me His faithfulness just more and more. And that's something that I constantly am learning through serving Him, just about how He is faithful and He is good. And it's always a reminder when I'm serving Him and have something hard come up and I don't know what to do, but He sustains me through it. And so, yeah, it was an amazing summer. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to serve as a counselor again.
This summer, I had the opportunity to work outside the hills on ground staff. This was my second summer working on ground staff, and I got the opportunity to work with a lot of really cool people and get to make some great memories. One thing that God definitely taught me was to trust in Him no matter the situation. Also, I definitely want to thank my church family for all the love and support this summer. You guys' prayers definitely meant a lot to me, and I really appreciate it. One of my favorite memories from this summer was definitely watching my campers grow closer to the Lord and just watching them read their Bibles and come to me and Bryce with different questions. There are some campers that came to us with questions that I haven't even thought of, and it really helped me also in my growth with the Lord. Thank you so much for all your support and prayers throughout this summer. Thank you.
Hey, WBC family. Just wanted to say thank you so much for your support this summer at Scioto Hills. We had an amazing summer. I was a counselor this summer, and it was probably one of my favorite summers that I've ever spent at camp. It was just a very sweet summer full of lots of fun memories and new friends. I would say one of my favorite memories from the summer was probably our Rev Week with our high school campers. I just had a really sweet cabin, and I was just able to have so many great conversations and just built friendships with my campers, and they were just a super amazing group. Yeah, and I would say something big that I learned from this summer would be just the fact that God has a plan for everyone, and he's going to use you in big ways, even like if it doesn't seem like that at first. This summer really showed me like he can still use me when I feel inadequate or when I don't feel like I'm good enough for the job. Yeah, the Lord prepared me, and I was able to be a counselor even when I didn't feel like I was good enough to do it, or I didn't know enough, or I wasn't fun enough. But the Lord prepares you, and he's with me every step of the way. And it was just a very growing summer, and I had an incredible time, and just, yeah, want to say thank you again for all your support and prayers and encouragement this summer. It was very much appreciated, and yeah, thank you so much.
Hello, Wheelersburg. I just want to say thank you guys so much for supporting us, the summer staff, me. We would not be able to do camp without you guys. So thank you so much for that. And thank you to Matt, because I'm setting this video late. But I would say a favorite memory that I have had from camp would have to be definitely in the time that a camper came to know Christ. It was the only camper that I had this entire summer that came to know Christ, but it was so worth it. It was after a really long week, and he I wasn't in the mood to really talk to him. I was kind of just doing my camper connections, just getting them done out of the way. And I sat down, talked with him, was like, okay, he's probably gonna say some basic answers and then carry on to the next camper. But that conversation was, wow. It was just the Lord working. It was not me at all. It was strictly God. And that was so cool to see the realization on his face that he needs a savior, and God loves him so much. So I would say that was one of my favorite memories at camp. And then what the Lord has taught me this summer is that even campers, 6-year-olds, 10-year-olds, they can have a relationship with God. They can love God. They can share the gospel. I think that's something that kind of goes under the radar. Just like, kids are smart and they can share the gospel and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And yeah, my camper, he brought 2 more campers because he shared the gospel with them. They wouldn't have come and been in my cabin any other way. So I think that's what the Lord has taught me this summer. So again, I just want to say thank you, Wheelersburg Baptist Church. You guys make camp possible, and I love you guys. Thank you.
A glimpse of what they learned, what they enjoyed about camp. Michaela was the other one, and her family decided to go visit her brother in Cedarville today, so they didn't make it back in time, but you can check in with her and ask her about her summer at some point as well. Also from our church, 35 campers from 35 kids from WBC went to camp, and what an amazing number that is, and we're so thankful for that. The church gave $6,354 to make that possible, and we're so thankful. The more and more understanding and talking to churches that continue to bring large groups, it's churches that make that investment into campers. It's churches that help cover the cost and not just speak to, hey, we're going to cover the cost, but that speaks to, we view this as important and we value this ministry and we want you to be a part of it, so much so we're going to help cover the cost of that. And we thank you for your donations and your gifts and your giving to allow that to be possible. That 35 there, seven of them are camp kids. Somewhere between 15 to 20 are kids from our church, and then the others are from Fly Ministry. The Kier on Wednesday nights wanted to continue to be there, and it was great to be able to have some of those follow-up conversations with them. We hadn't seen them for a couple months because Fly had ended beginning of May. They came in June, and it was great to reconnect with them, and we're looking forward to seeing them again here this fall. And so we want to hear from a couple of those campers, just a few. You can talk to a bunch of them. But Adri, you want to come? And then we got a couple on video as well. So Adri was a Rev camper, and she's going to come and talk about Rev Week.
This summer I had the opportunity to go to Rev at Cyber Hills. This was my first time at Rev, and I learned a lot about the Lord. We would have workshops every morning, and you would go to a different one every day. From those workshops, I learned how to study the Bible and how to help friends that struggle with anxiety and depression. We would also do daily devotions and review them as a cabin. I really liked hearing about what my cabin mates had wrote down. We would have a chapel every night, and I learned that God is light and He will shine in the darkness of your life. I learned that all the people who accept God in their life will become reborn, and lastly, I learned God shows us nothing but love and faithfulness, even in our dark times, even when we sin, no matter what we do, God will always love us. I learned from my counselor to always love myself because I was created in the image of God. I learned to keep reading the Word and to keep talking to God even when camp was over, and I had to continue to do so. I made many new friendships with the other campers, and I had lots of fun at Rev Camp this summer.
One of my favorite things is the pipeline at the lake, and I love the avalanche and the Goliath swing. I invited my cousin and my friend to come with me in 2024, and they came in 2025. This summer, I got to go to camp one time, and I had an amazing summer. We had so much fun at the pop shop and the pavilion and at chapel, and it was just a great time, and we learned so much about God and grew spiritually. My brothers are really excited to go next year so they can also learn about God. And I'm already planning when I can volunteer and help at camp because I love it so much. And hopefully next year I can go twice again.
Hello, this is our third year attending family camp. And this year it did look a little different for us as Jason was called away on a job. And then Hannah's husband, Aaron, couldn't be with us because he had to work. But we always choose week one when we go to family camp because Bella, Olivia, and Lucas get to participate all summer in camp, and we just want it to be special for them. One of the best parts is having staff members to help our family, and that always falls to poor Drew, but this year we got Hannah too, and that was very special. As always, I think our week is the best. Every year I think that. I think our speakers can't be any better. And this year it was Kyle Estep and Kyle Caton, two local guys from the South Upstate area. And Kyle Caton spoke in the mornings, and he spoke on Psalms, a series they've been doing in their church. And then Kyle Estep was the evening, and that was on the theme this summer of grace and truth out of the book of John, and it was just really good. It's so wonderful to just sit and relax in a beautiful place and hear from the Lord. That's one of my favorite parts of family camp. spending time with our family is also a special time, and to see our grandkids love camp as much as our kids love camp is priceless.
There we go. Thank you, WBC family. We couldn't do this without you. Thank you for sending kids, investing into them, and investing into their lives. And thank you for allowing summer staff to be here, be a part of the church, be a part of the church family. Thank you for your prayers and your continual encouragement. We couldn't do camp without you, and we're so blessed to have such a great summer. Scott, you said 50 minutes. How about 15?
Yeah. And there's so much I could add to that. After 20 years of having to hear myself present the camp, it's nice to hear Matt do it. So thanks, brother. Appreciate it. How cool that is. He's one of our pastors here, right? How cool it is also that Douglas and Michael and Dan are all on church staff as well. Little guy came to camp. His dad's on our board. Four boys came to camp. The one that was in was in New Frontier camp. His dad called me and said that his son cried till Monday, went home on Friday. Cried till Monday because he couldn't stay at camp. And it's just, it's amazing what happens with that and how just how that works, right? And what I want to say is it almost sounds like these kids never heard about God before, and we know that's not true, right? They hear about the Lord in their churches, and it's a neat to be a part of it because they'll come to faith in Christ after an intense week of study, and they'll say, I never heard this before. And I'll say, you go to Grace Baptist Church in Cedarville. You've heard it every week. You just never got it, right? So there's something you hear at WBC, right? And we even heard in the testimony, we learn about God, right? And it sounds like we don't learn about him other places, what we do. It's just the camp, it just has, there's something about combining that setting, right, with the counselors and the cabin and the lack of distractions that God is able to work in their lives. And we're so thankful for that. I just want to say, too, we had an eight-day stretch. Matt said, if it could go wrong, it went wrong. And it was a mechanical thing. It was the same week. It was the same week Camp Mystic was destroyed by flood. 27 kids lost their life and staff members lost their life. And we were so blessed to only have stupid mechanical headaches. We didn't lose one camper. That's just overwhelming to me. Because I don't know how you would recover from that other than, just trusting the Lord and moving forward. But he's been so gracious to us in so many ways. And thank you so much for your prayers. There should be a slide. One more slide is there up there of some pictures of, do we have that? We don't need it if necessary. But we are an expansion program. At camp, and it's a long story. Started really back in 2013 with some ideas, and it's now finally coming to reality with a number of modifications, expanding our impact. A program we kicked off last October, we would like to raise around $1.6 million to do a bunch of different things in phase one. Two of the main ones are being developed before our eyes here. The one is the Hillside Chapel designed to help us minister to more people, especially during the retreat season as we work with multiple groups on weekends. Last year we had people at the camp 46 weeks. Right, so it's not just summer, right? We do stuff year-round. And there are times when we've turned away folks because we don't have that third meeting space. And so that's really what the intention designed to minister to our guest groups. And it'll be used for a number of things, right? we'll probably get out of the hot sun next summer, family camp, and probably have chapel in there. We've got our ladies' retreats. We're planning on meeting in there, and that building will be used for the Lord's glory. I'm amazed that we had the office. The original trailer was up there on that hill, right? And then it was the staff house. And every time I went up there, it's the most beautiful spot on camp. And the Lord's allowed us to use that now for His glory. The building's about done. We need about $75,000 more dollars to finish it, so it's paid for. We do have some back page money that we've designated to use so we can continue to move forward. The pictures don't do justice. The stone wall and the fireplace is amazing. The entrance, the loft in there, the porch. It's just the whole thing has just turned out wonderfully. And we think we'll be able to build it for about $425,000, and it'll be insured for $1 million. So many hands have gone into it. We've got some guys coming from Grace Baptist in Troy. We've got volunteers here that have been. I think Joe thinks he's got a full-time job now at the camp. And just so God's blessing. And every story about the cost of different things and how we've met new folks. And one of the guy that insulated the building brought his family to family camp, and he's deciding to move down to this area because he wants to be part of our camp ministry and our church ministry. And it was all just based on the summer on our staff that he met and his wife. The other thing that's going on is the family cottages designed our ministry of growth for family ministry, an adult ministry. The first foundation is up. Ken and some guys put the flooring on there, and we'll get the walls put up tomorrow. We think that'll be under roof here in another week or so, and be able to get that first cottage done. We have enough money to pay for that. We paid for the septic system that's gone in. It was $83,000. We received a gift to take care of that. Pretty elaborate system. And so that's one of four cottages in phase. Well, actually eight we want to do. The EPA has allowed us to do four. We have to measure water flow for a year to prove to them that we can add another four to that. So it's happening, right? We're just continuing to ask the Lord for His blessings upon it, safety, to send us the folks that we need to be able to accomplish it. Dan Lichty and Donna have been here. They retired folks from Florida. He's been overseeing it. Donna told Dan that they're leaving at the end of August, so we got to get a ton done in the next 2 weeks, right? But so if you've got some extra time, you want to join Joe out there, and we may even buy you lunch or something. But thanks so much for the relationship we have. I think about our relationship with Cedarville, and I was told that we were connected to Cedarville at the hip. But man, we're more than that here. We just bleed Wheelersburg Baptist Church, and our staff loves being part of the church family here. So thank you for that. I want to use what from Romans 7 this morning. I want to springboard into something I just want to challenge you with. And I want you to go back to Romans 8. And in your Bible, you'll see part of Romans 7 maybe as well. But and when you find Romans 8 and then find Mark chapter 10, because my challenge with our summer staff this year was twofold. I wanted them, as we see teens grow up in the church and people grow, and so many of them walk away from the faith, right? My challenge to them is that I wanted this summer to be a place where they fell in love with Jesus more than ever before. That their faith became more real. That it wasn't just their family. It wasn't just their church or their community. It wasn't just the camp. It was that they were trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that He was the ultimate purpose in their life, right? He was the one they are trusting, as Matt said, with the full weight of their life. The second thing I wanted to challenge the summer staff with is I wanted them to get tougher. I think we're producing generations of kids who aren't very tough, quite frankly. And if anything can do it, it's summer staff. 10 weeks of nonstop, doing things and exhaustion and moving forward. You heard it from some of the staff as well. And I think we accomplish that. One of the ways we do that is because we try to teach a biblical servanthood model to them to try to drive them to be doing what they do, right? And so, in a nutshell, this is what we talk about. But I want to use the Romans 7 and 8 as a springboard for this. Look at the last verse of chapter 7. The things I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, why am I so wretched, Paul says, right? And he says, thanks be to God who gives me the victory, right, through Christ. I'm going to play a song for you in a few minutes because we're a church, a redeemed church. People sing, right? And down here in Southern Ohio, we sang a little bit. But look at this idea from the very last phrase, verse 25, chapter 7, after Paul finishes this section of realizing that we struggle, we war with things in our life, right? There's things we want to do, we don't do. He concludes with this, I've got this thing in my mind that I want to do, but my body wants to do the other. Look at verse 25. So then, I myself, who I am in Christ, serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There's a struggle going on. And if you don't have this chapter division, one of them is that we still think we're condemned sometimes. That's verse 1 of chapter 8. There's no condemnation. We battle that, right? And you go down a little bit further, chapter 8, verse 12, there that he finished, we're in Christ. We battle with that. We have to remind ourselves that, and we have to remind ourselves that we're adopted sons of God and that we can call God the Father, Abba, right? And that Christ, because of what he's done for us, he shares the inheritance that he enjoys with us. And we're all firstborn sons of God adopted into his family. We struggle to believe that at times, right? There's a battle going on in there. Now, then you go to verse 28, and we're all familiar with this, but sometimes we miss this little part in verse 29, and we know that those who love God, all things work together for good. Right? For those who are called, that's us, we're called according to his purpose. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined. Why? To be conformed to the image of his son. Here's the part where we can tell kids. I tell my soccer team, you don't have to guess at your purpose in life. You were made so that you would come to the place where you know Christ and be conformed to his image, that you would be like him, right? Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 or so, in this suffering, he didn't revile when he was reviled and all those. And it says, and though you were called to follow in his steps, right? So this idea of him bringing us to himself, our purpose is we're understanding the gospel, and we now live in light of what he's done for us, and we all have this calling on us, and it's to become like Christ. So here's what we try to teach our staff. God created you to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's Romans 8. There's no question about that. We've been created to be like Jesus. And if Christ came to serve, right, then if Christ came to serve and not to be served, then if we're going to be most like Jesus, then we're going to be people who serve. You got to think about that logic a little bit. We're made to become like Christ. Christ didn't come to be served, but to serve. And he gives his life a ransom. So if we're going to be like Christ, we're going to be a servant. Does that make sense? But you take it a step further. If we're to be like Christ, and Christ says that he came to give us joy to the fullest, to give us life to the fullest, then we must most be like Jesus when we're serving. And if we're most like Jesus when we're serving, then it must be the most satisfying way and purposeful way to live life. Anything else would evidently be falling short of what God called us to. He calls us to be servants. And in doing so, when we're a servant, we're most like him. John chapter 13, when he taught his disciples to wash the feet, he elevated his students to his level. He washed their feet. They're most like Jesus when they're serving. Why? Because Jesus came to serve. He came to give his life, right? And evidently, if that's the case, then we must be most satisfied and most fulfilled when we're serving others, not being served. Shake your head if that makes sense. Hope it does. There's no question about it. Look at Mark chapter 10. You're familiar with this passage. So we were called, those who are called, to be conformed to his image. The new Living Translation says we're called to become like him, right? Peter says we've been called to be following his steps. He came to serve. For like Jesus, we'll be servants. Little song, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. Right? You want to be first in God's kingdom, learn to be last. Here's this Mark chapter 10 passage, verse 35. This James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you to do." And he said to them, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit on one on the right hand, one on the left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking." They said, verse 39, "We are able to drink this baptism." And he says, "Yeah, you will, but it's not for me to grant that for you." Verse 41, and then the ten heard about it. They start murmuring about James and John and what they wanted to do. And so Jesus, here's the conclusion. This is huge for us as Christ followers. Jesus called them to him and he said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." That's how the world does it. I'm planning on getting to the top and I'm going to climb the ladder, and I don't care who I step on to get there because I don't plan on coming back down. That's the world's mentality. And you see it over and over. Guys have spent 30 years working for a company, and because of a buyout, they lose all their retirement, all their benefits. Why? Because no one cares. That's what he's talking about. Gentiles live that way. But look at what he says. "But it shall not be so among you." We're different. Why? Because we understand life. We understand what's important in life. We understand what God's called us to be like his son, to be serving others for his glory. So in serving others, we're serving him. "But it shall not be so among whoever would be great among you must be your servant." He's talking about greatness. He's just talking about a different kind of greatness. "And whoever would be first among you must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man," reference to himself, "came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 real quick. And I'll just give you one or two applications here in a minute. We'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 5. "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." There's something to say about fulfilling our purpose. And we challenge the students to be other-minded. We say camps for the camper. You get dunked 100 times. You get legged 50 times. You're last in line. You don't get the dessert because we run out. All those different things. Grow a person and challenge them in their faith, and they get stretched because they are becoming like Christ. It's the beauty of what happens. I'm convinced now for 20 years, every high school and college student should spend a summer at camp. Doesn't have to be us. Just somewhere. When Lena, if you remember, Lena was with us. She came down with her dad for an event. TJ talked to her about working. On the way home, her dad called another fella he knew had worked at camp. He's a pastor of a church. And he said, what can you tell Lena about camp? He said, Lena, I worked at Scioto Hills 2 summers. They're the 2 hardest summers of my life. But they were the 2 best summers of my life. Works. Servanthood model. Right? We are created to be like Christ. And if we're going to be like him, we'll be known for being a servant. And that's a part of the struggle. The things I do in chapter 7 I don't want to do. I don't want to serve. I want to be served. We're all prone to that. Right? Philippians tells us we live in this vile body. A body that's prone to sin. Selfishness. Covet. I mean, that nailed it, right? Covetousness. In our heart we want. Right? And we learn from Jesus that we need to give instead. We cover that through what we call the QBQ principle. It's not original with me. John Miller, a guy in Colorado, wrote a book on it. We've used it for years. Basically, it's this: you ask the right question, and the answer's in the question. QBQ, question behind the question. Here's the classic illustration that I use. Why don't we have any coffee? I mean, who's supposed to make coffee? When are we going to get somebody to make coffee? Those are all wrong questions. The right question involves how or what, an I and an action. What can I do right now to get coffee made? And the answer is, make it. That's it, right? So here's the ultimate question. What can I do right now to make a difference? And when a camper spills a plate of food, it's all over the floor, and you got people jumping up to help, people getting mops, doing different things, pump someone, getting them another plate, and sometimes it's the only place the kid feels like they're cared for sometimes. What can I do right now to make a difference? And the question would be, what can you do right now at Wheelersburg Baptist Church as part of the body of Christ to make a difference here in this community? And that's going to happen if you are conforming to the image of Christ and fulfilling what he calls you to be, right? And that. I want to finish with, how long was that? I don't know how long that was. This is a Keith Green song. Some of you remember Keith Green died in a plane crash in 1982. Every time I go through Romans 7, this song comes to my mind. And we found a version that has the lyrics on here. And I would say, and I think Pam would agree, if you would talk about top 5 influences in our life, Keith Green's lyrics to his music would probably be up there somewhere. But listen to this. Why am I so bad when in my heart I only want to be like you? Right? Listen, and we'll play this and we'll be done here tonight. Thank you so much for being here tonight, for hearing another camp report. Thank you for putting up with us. We're gone a bunch, in and out, doing different things. And we just love being part of the church family here. But let's listen to this. Thank you. Father, thanks for our evening. Thank you for the day. Thank you for the fellowship we've enjoyed. Thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for the work of your Son on our behalf that continues to mold us and change us and renew our hearts. Thank you for the challenge from your word this morning. And the fact that there's hope in Christ and that we can find victory in what he's done for us and that we can become what you've made us to be like your Son. Thank you for your patience, your long suffering with us. Thank you for your grace and mercy and goodness and steadfast love. Help us to be what you've called us to be. Thank you for the relationship we enjoy as a church and camp. I pray that Siler Hills will never strive to replace the place of the church, that we would always be driven to be in relationship with the church that you've called and ordained to win the world to Christ. Thank you for those whose lives have been changed this summer. We pray that their decisions are legit, that they're truly transformed, and that they're beginning a new life. And help us to be very careful with how we present that. We pray for our churches that partner with us and that are so faithful in promoting our ministry and sending us people and speakers and kids and contributions and prayers. And we pray for those that could benefit from camp in the future. And we pray that you'll continue to use our setting for your glory in these days and months and years to come. We've got needs we're trusting you to meet. We pray for safety in the expansion. Pray for the financial part of the expansion. Pray for our staff now as we transition to our fall schedule. The kids and summer staff that head back to school this fall are back to work. We love you. Thank you for your grace. In your Son's name, amen.